to the Gum Guru podcast. Today's episode is called Beyond the Chair, unveiling the difference dentist office periodontic treatment versus the expertise of a periodontist. I'm Jason Kong here with Dr. Macon Singletary. Dr. Singletary, how are you doing today?
Better than I deserve.
That's what I like to hear.
We're blessed by the best.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm excited for our conversation today because I think this is a subject that probably more people encounter than they realize. And so let's talk about this. I guess let's just start out here. What's the difference between a dental office that offers some periodontic treatment and what your office does?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. When you go to dental school, you go through different aspects of training and different specialties. So a general dentist is exposed to ortho, endo, periodontics, prosthetics, and generally a dental student will, and I've taught at the dental school as my first 5 years of practice, and then with the periodontal program, residency program for 20 years or more. And so I love to teach. But once you realize your strength and weaknesses, you'll focus on that. And when I was in dental school, I grew up in a medical family, and there was reasons why I didn't go into medicine. As we see today, what was going on, my father predicted that. So, you know, I like working with my hands, and so dentistry was a good fit for me. And as I went into dental school, I saw that I love periodontics because there was a systemic aspect of it that could affect not only just oral health, systemic health. I could see that very early. So I put my emphasis there. Now, general dentists, they will do that, but some will go out and then they'll practice what they feel comfortable with. If an individual like myself wanted to pursue diving into the specialty, then you go into a specialty training program. And there's endodontists, you know, they're graduate programs for endodontists and children's dentistry, pedodontics, you know, orthodontics, periodontics. But a dentist has the capability of doing anything he wants, as long as he does it to the ability that, you know, is up to standard of a specialist. It doesn't mean necessarily they had to go to that program. But a specialist like what I do, it's 2 to 3 years. I went to a master's program because I wanted to possibly teach. And that's one level of graduate training. And when you go into periodontics, it's evidence-based therapy. We spend 2.5, 3 years of looking at literature, looking at treatment done, seeing what's effective and what's not effective. And there's no way you can do that in dental school. When you get out of dental school, there are continuing education programs that one can take. But this concentrated training that you have in a graduate program, for certain individuals like myself, I just can't do a little bit here and a little bit there. I like to dive in and really learn what I want to do and spend the rest of my life doing and do it to my best ability. So the specialist, that's what they've done. And so whenever something's done in our office, there's a reason for it. And over and above the 2.5, 3 years, we had to take a test once we're done. So first of all, you got to get into the program, and so they don't take everybody, but there were 4 in our class, and I think there were 2,000 applicants. And so, you know, it's a higher priority. People want to specialize, you know, there's not a lot of spots in the dental schools to do it. But once you're there, you know, they're going through the process, you're learning why you do what you do. And then after that, you have to take a test. You have to take a national test, and then if you pass that, you have a certificate. That allows you to specialize. Above and beyond that, to become a diplomate, like if you want to teach or go be on staff at a hospital, they require you to be a diplomate of your specialty. That's another, in periodontics, that was another 5 years for me. And you had to document 5 cases, and there are 3 parts to that. The first part's the written. The second part is case submission, where you go from the very beginning to end and document it all. And the third part's the orals, and it's a 5-day procedure, at least when I did it. I learned more in that 5 years than I ever did in undergraduate school, dental school. Those 5 years were very key for me to understand doing what I do and why I do it. And so that's the difference. It's a concentrated training, and the reason why you do what you do is evidence-based. It's not just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Somebody comes up, I mean, dentists, we're all gadget-oriented. Something comes up and a salesman comes by and boom, we got it in the office. Whether it's really appropriate or not, over time it will tell. And sometimes we do things that we shouldn't buy or invest in because we haven't seen it worked out, or we haven't seen the research on it.
Okay, I want to make sure I've got this straight. So two people get admitted into dental school. If I want to be a dentist that we typically imagine in our head where we get our cleaning, that is one track. And then if I want to be a periodontist, I'm going down a complete separate lane. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, that's generally when you go into dental school, students don't know where their strengths are. And then after a couple of years, they say, I like all of it. As they graduate, they may take continuing education and get CEs. And there are the Academy of General Dentistry, there are programs for dentists who want to further their education to get better in different fields. And so a lot of it's experience, and what one person likes to do. Some people, prefer prosthetics, doing crown and bridge work. And how the teeth fit together. But, from a periodontal point of view, a prosthodontist wants to make sure that foundation is good. So he's going to rely on, the oral health to be good, and sometimes he'll refer to a specialist orthodontist. Sometimes we'll get a pre-orthodontic exam, periodontal exam with us, because that's what we do. And, I may say, go ahead, proceed, you're going to be fine, or we need to do this first. So it can be confusing to patients to when they go to a dentist and they say, we can do this. And if a dentist does a procedure, he's going to do it to the same degree that a specialist would. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it. The American Dental Association has certain standards for everybody, and they should follow those standards, to the degree that if I'm doing. That's why I'm not going to do a crown, because I'm not going to – my crown will be horrible. that's why I went into periodontics.
So if there is a dentist office that is offering these periodontic treatments, do they have a periodontist in the office? What allows them to essentially do the same things that you're able to do?
Some offices now, like with corporate dentistry, have everybody in-house and have that specialist there. If they want to do periodontal therapy, what I would do is, as a patient, I would check the credentials. All dentists have to have their shingle out. They can call and ask, I'm getting ready to have laser therapy in this dentist office. What's his training on that? I mean, that's a good question to ask, because, I had a heart procedure. It went well. I asked the cardiologist, is this his first case? What's his training? And it's interesting because my nephew's a cardiologist, and I asked in Greensboro, and I asked him. I said, these two guys, who would you get? And he said, well, this one is pioneered the technique, but this guy is. Not quite as old, but as he's a student. He trained under him. And I said, they both are good. I said, you can't get into this guy for 6 months, but this guy knows what he's doing. He's done these procedures. He's not right off the school just starting out. He's had some experience. So either one will be fine. And the fact that he's a little bit younger and that didn't make any difference to me. It was his experience, his credentials, and his ability to do that procedure just as good as the one that had the experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is this is your world. This is what you do all the time. That this is your complete focus. That started with your education, and it has continued years upon years at your practice. So if I'm having issues with my gums and I want to get them checked out, what sets what you do apart from maybe the experience at a general dentist? Is it the same? Is it different?
Well, it'll be different. And I'm just going to be honest. You know, I've seen enough of this over the years. Even when I first got, as I said, the first 5 years I went through that diplomate process, I learned more then because it was a concentrated effort. I was looking at literature. I was looking at patients. I was looking at how what treatment worked and what didn't work. And that's what I do. It's difficult for a general dentist to look at a procedure done and then follow it. And that's all I do. And so with the years' experience that I have, I've seen things that some guys haven't ever seen. And I get referrals about, you know, pathology that, you know, they don't know what it is. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, that's lichen planus. You know, although there can be other differential diagnoses associated with that, and you have to be able to understand whether it's a treatment in my golf bag of treatment options. You know, am I going to do root plane? Am I going to do laser therapy? What's going to work for that patient? It varies from person to person. And unless you do it day in, day out, you're going to sort of cookbook it. And general dentistry is really problem focused. If there's decay, they fix it. If there's they put a filling in. If there needs a crown, it's done. Periodontal therapy is an ongoing issue. It's not just when you do it. And the money you spend to do it is important. You know, the patient's investing in their mouth. And so, you know, whatever I do, I try to think, okay, what's going to be the best for them long term, and what's going to help them achieve not only oral health, but also their systemic health too. And so it's not just, oh, we're going to do root plane and we live happily ever after. It's more complicated than that. And once an individual, whether it's a periodontist or a general dentist, has done this procedure many times and seen it, how it heals and the effect of it, then they get the confidence to know, I'm going to do this procedure and it's going to help this patient, or no, I'm going to do something different.
I can imagine there's a subset of people who have gotten periodontal treatment at their general dentist just because they didn't know other options exist, or that maybe they should seek out a periodontist. You know, for someone who's listening to this episode and maybe they're in those shoes, how should they proceed in that regard? You know, how do they know if the treatment that they're getting is okay, or if they should seek out help from a periodontist?
Well, that's, you know, they should ask, you know, how's my gum tissue health? You know, what needs to be done to make it better? And, you know, recession is a things that people can see. And it doesn't necessarily mean that because the tooth has recession, something needs to be done. But individual patients will look at it and say, well, you know, I need to do this. And I get referrals for recession. And most of the time, you know, we don't need to do anything. It's just concentrate on keeping the gum tissue healthy. But if a person feels comfortable doing a procedure, you know, if they've had their teeth clean and they feel like, you know, it's been rough, you know, that's day in, day out treatment of gingival tissue, scaling, root plane, cleaning, prophylaxis, whatever. If it's some individuals think that they really have to get in there and be aggressive, you don't. It's respecting the tissue is important. And if an individual is having their teeth clean and it hurts, or they're probing and it hurts, just say, hey, look, you know, if I have a periodontal problem, I'd like to get a second opinion. I'd like to maybe see a periodontist, you know, because it should not hurt. You know, I'm a dental phobic for way back. If it's going to hurt, I'm leaving.
I may have backed into it, but what is our action step for today's episode?
Yeah, check their credentials. Call the office. So what kind of experience is this? He's going to do periodontal therapy for me. Where is his training? You know, where did he go to dental school? What's his degree? Does he have continuing education in that? That's very important, because it doesn't necessarily mean that a person that hasn't been to a specialty program can't do these procedures, but what's his experience with it? And once they find out, you know, can I get a second opinion?
Yeah, Absolutely. That's the step that's really no harm in. And when it comes to your health, it's always a good measure to do some double checking on that regard. Dr. Singletary, can you give us an example of a patient maybe who didn't have the best experience at a dentist's office that was offering periodontic treatment and who sought out your services?
Yeah. In fact, this week I had a patient come in that had been in my office previously and had done some work for, but she decided to stay with the general dentist. And he did some implants for her, and they were fine. But when I asked her, how many times a day do you brush your teeth? She said, once. I said, you got four implants and you only brush them once a day. You know, not having that motivation to take care of them, number one. Number two was he was focusing on one implant on the lower right area, and there was exudate, it was infected. And that's why she presented to my office. She actually walked in, and we were able to see her. And so I hadn't seen her in 4 years, so I did a regular exam on her, a periodontal exam. She, not only was she having a problem with one implant, which is what he wanted me to look at, had bleeding and exudate around the other three implants, and one had a fistula. Now, you can't see him far, missing the whatever, the forest for the trees. Honing in on one thing, that's what she was honing in on. This is what's bugging me. But when I looked elsewhere, I said, we need to look at this and do an exam. And I found other things that were issues that she was having a problem with that, in a busy office, addressing one issue, and the house is burning up. And so fortunately, I did an exam. We're going to be able to help her, but his treatment plan was to extract the implant. The implant was integrated, solid, and we can bail implants out. We can do laser protocol on them. And so when I mentioned that to her, she obviously that's what she wanted to do. She said, well, he grabbed a hold of the implant and couldn't pull it out. It was rock solid. And I said, we'll see what we can do. So, yes, it's always good if they have – if that dominion sensor goes up, it's always good to maybe seek second opinion fast.
Well, that will do it for us today. On behalf of Dr. Macon Singletary, I'm Jason Kong. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Gum Guru.
If you would like to know more about ways to make sure your smile is healthy or more information on any of the treatments in today's discussion, check out their website at northraleighperio.com. If you have other questions you'd like to have answered on the Gum Guru podcast, send them to contact@northraleighperio.com.